Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Derek Dennis. Heavy rain from tropical depression Debbie may be to blame for a plane sliding off a runway and getting stuck in the mud at the airport in Charlotte, North Carolina overnight. No injuries, but our Charlotte ABC affiliate reports there were several Carolina Panthers players on board coming home from an away game. A televised debate is scheduled for September 10th on ABC between the top candidates for president.
The debate, one that Trump agreed to when President Biden was still in the race, despite waffling on his commitment the last few weeks when Harris ascended to the top of the ticket.
I just look forward to these debates. I think it's very important that we have them.
Harris remains focused on the ABC News debate.
I'm looking forward to it and hope he shows up.
Not willing to commit to any other debates until after that first one.
ABC Selena Wang. Today marks 10 years since 18-year-old Michael Brown was shot and killed by a police officer in Ferguson, Missouri, sparking Black Lives Matter protests worldwide. This is ABC.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin has a new missing child alert system. The Purple Alert system is meant to fill gaps in the Amber Alert system. The PRINCE Act that Governor Evers signed yesterday expanded the definition of a person at risk to include children. The PRINCE Act is named after 5-year-old Prince McCree, who was killed in Milwaukee last year. The universities of Wisconsin face a number of challenges in the coming years. System President Jay Rothman says one of the big ones is fewer high school graduates, and fewer of them are enrolling at state universities.
As we move increasingly into a knowledge-based, technology-driven economy, I don't think that's good for the state of Wisconsin.
Rothman testified yesterday to a study committee which will spend the next several months studying the UW system's problems and come up with possible solutions. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A new missing child alert system launched in Wisconsin on Thursday. The new system was developed after Governor Tony Evers signed the PRINCE Act, named after 5-year-old Prince McCree, who was found dead after going missing in Milwaukee. The PRINCE Act also honors 10-year-old Lily Peters, who went missing in Chippewa Falls in 2022 before her body was found along a trail. Neither McCree nor Peters' case met the criteria for an Amber Alert after being reported missing, and the new system will have less strict requirements for alerts. A Duluth animal shelter is calling for community support after reaching their maximum capacity for dogs. According to a WDIO report, officials from Animal Allies Humane Society in Duluth say they're receiving dogs faster than they can get them adopted, leaving them unable to take in any more surrenders. They say some of the causes of the backlog are the rising cost of living, dogs being transferred from out-of-state organizations, and limited access to spay and neuter services. The shelter is looking for more adopters. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers unveil a new defense. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. Green Bay fans will get their first glimpse of the Packers' new 4-3 defense when they face the Browns in Cleveland tomorrow. The Packers signed the Giants' free agent safety, Xavier McKinney, to a 4-year deal worth $68 million.
If I play, I play. If I don't, I don't. Whatever the case may be, I'm just trying to, you know, do my job and be able to get better. If I don't play, then obviously my job will be, you know, just trying to make sure the young guys are prepared and ready.
College football, the Badgers wrapping up week 2 of camp in Platteville. Tyler Van Dyke seems to have the edge at winning the starting job at quarterback.
Yeah, just show consistency, you know, with everything I do, whether that's leadership, leading the offense, and pushing the ball downfield a little bit.
Baseball, Brewers and the Reds tonight at AmFam Field. The Crew coming off that 3-game sweep of the Braves in Atlanta by winning yesterday 16-7.
Well, just playing good more than one day, you know, like playing consistently pretty good like we did the last few days.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is going to be partly cloudy today and a little breezy. We'll get to around 70 for a high. The wind northwest at around 10 to 20. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop to 50 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, sunshine, high in the low to mid 70s on Sunday. Sunny with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin. Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103.
Yes.
Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media's Southwest Wisconsin reporter extraordinaire and showbiz fan, Stuart J. Waddles, and it's a Bar Band Friday as we welcome Max Inc. Radio's Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. Guess what day it is?
It's Friday. And the skies are blue. We got a little bit of a cool down. It's going to be a great weekend.
Yeah, man. You carpet bagged for a couple days this week.
Yeah, I got a few days off, so I had a short week. But next week, we're going to hit the ground running and get back at it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah, the sky is blue. I mean, it's not falling. I thought, when I listen to the Trump rallies, I always think the sky is falling.
Well, so by now, you know that voice. You know it's Friday. You know it's none other than my co-host, Sandy Williams. Hey, good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Earl. I'm doing well.
Yeah, Sandy, and so our phone lines are open as always. So, Sandy, you know, I don't know, man. A couple days ago.
Just one quick aside. Did you see that Team America had to squeak out a win against Serbia?
Man. You know, well, Serbia is good.
I know. They have Jokic. But, I mean, I'm just to say that here we have the country of America. We have all the, you know, we have 335 million people. We have we're the place that basketball started. And yet we have these countries, South Sudan, Serbia, places that actually give our guys a run for the money, which demonstrates that star power isn't really necessarily the winning formula.
So let me say this as a former basketball player. It's not determined by the nation you come from how good you're going to be. Right.
Yeah, but I mean, I think there's a style issue too. I mean, the team play. I think these other countries play a game that's much more like soccer. They've all grown up playing soccer. Soccer has to be a team game. You know, you have stars within the team, but a star can't carry the team.
Yeah, kind of like volleyball.
Yeah, and so you know, everyone touches the ball. And anyway, I just thought it was interesting that Serbia. Yes, they had some stars on that team, and they've got a tall, but Serbia's only got about 25 million people.
Team is the operative thing. And so those guys play well together. They know where the other guy's going to be. They're great team players. And by all rights, they should have won the game. They were up by 15 going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for Steph Curry.
Yeah. And South Sudan, who doesn't have any names on it to speak of, you know, they gave him a ride, too. So I just think it's interesting. I think the NBA is learning this lesson. I think it's the reason why so many European faces are beginning to appear in the NBA, because teams are realizing that if you can have a system that works, that's better than having to pay a gazillion dollars to a high-priced
team. Well, so it's not, Sandy, that you get the best individual players and put them all on a team. You've got to have guys who are willing to sacrifice, i.e., like Holiday and the guy from Phoenix, the guard, Booker. Those guys sacrificed their games in order for, you know, them to win. And so I would think they've got to have more role players, right? Because really that's what Serbia has.
Well, one of the things I've talked about on the show before, this de Tocqueville, the fellow that France, the philosopher, historian who came to the American, traveled in the 1830s and came away saying that the difference he saw was just this inbred individualism. He thought it might be a problem in terms of the Americans being able to have a sense of community, which I think has come true. I think one of the reasons we have a different approach to our provision of a social safety net and whatever is the fact that we don't have this inherent sense of community. But I think that individualism takes over as well in sports. So we have a far more individualistic approach to basketball than many of the other countries that have taken the sport up. And the same was true with hockey, actually. And even though hockey is necessarily a team game, but foreigners provided a new form of hockey that was far more pass-oriented than the Canadian-American game, which is all about checks.
You know, all in all, it was a great, entertaining game. And I'll tell you, the Americans got out of there by the skin of their teeth.
Yeah.
And you saw all of those wealthy players. When I say wealthy, NBA players, we're talking $400 million, $500 million.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know.
And you could tell, actually, to them it mattered. They were.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was. And so it's going to be interesting. France with Wembanyama, they've got a good team. It might actually end up being a tough game.
Well, you know, they're not Serbia. And France, and again, Serbia, just watching those guys play individually, many of those guys, if they're not in the NBA, they certainly have the talent to play in the NBA on Serbia. Those guys that they had out there, great shooters, great passers, great defensive players, physically strong. And that's what happens when they let them play basketball, right? That guys weren't floating through the lane doing whatever they wanted to do. A guy had a forearm. That's the way the basketball NBA used to be played.
International basketball is far more let them play. So
right,
you know,
which I think is more entertaining basketball than the way it is played in the NBA. Like you can't touch a guy.
Yeah,
but anyway, Sandy, I don't know how many days ago it was that the sky was falling and Republicans and Donald Trump said
the stock market
crashed. Donald Trump said we're headed towards the biggest recession.
Well, I think depression. I think Donald Trump a couple of days later said, "Well, this is a crash of like the 1929 variant." I mean, I think as I said on Tuesday, the opposing party, unfortunately, selfishly, would wish for an economic disaster because that would be a road to a successful political campaign, but. As much as they wished for it, as much as I think Donald Trump hoped that by saying it, it would happen or that he could contribute to it happening, like I said, you need to wait. You need to see, was it a hiccup? And, by Friday, it looks much more like a hiccup. Yesterday, the stock market recovered 2/3 of its loss. And Wall Street wasn't treating it like Donald Trump, I guess, hoped they would treat it, which was like a financial disaster. And one of the reasons is because, unlike 2008, there wasn't
a
fundamental cause, okay? This was more of a market upset, and the question is what caused it. The media, like Chicken Little and like Donald Trump, and that's, I think, one of the reasons why Donald Trump is successful with his Chicken Little approach is that the media itself has the same instinct, which is, this has got to be a big deal in order for us to grab a lot of attention. So they're much more inclined to cover these things like big deals. And they spent a lot of time trying to come up with post hoc rationalizations for why Monday happened, right? So they had some theories about it. Some of them might have been sound, some not. But the fact is that the marketplace is a complicated place, and there's lots of people
operating in the market, some of them speculators, some of them short-term traders, some of them long-term investors. And like I said on Tuesday, the financial market of the United States is awash with capital, okay? It's got more capital in it, some of the reason being this great amassing of great wealth by Americans, okay, by the wealthy Americans.
Yeah, some Americans.
The 0.5%
right.
that have amassed such great wealth. And then the endowments, the places that hold a great deal of wealth that is being held on behalf of others or being held on behalf of institutions, all of these people are awash with capital, and they're looking for things to invest in. And they're going to be the last people who want to abandon the stock market, because there's only one kind of investment that offers all the upside, and that's stocks. Okay, by the rest of the investments have upward potential, and they can be significant. You can invest in debt instruments and make quite a bit of money,
but it takes long term. Right?
Well, and the risks of that are different and less predictable. Okay, so interest rates are harder to predict than the performance of a particular corporation.
You know, we had people calling and talking in the talking points that Trump and other Republicans said that this is Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and they created this. And I don't know how many times, you know, you and I have had conversations over the years where you pointed out individual presidents can't cause.
No. Although, you know, individual presidents by to the extent that they would try to control the levers that might impact the
economy. Which is what
Donald
Trump is talking about right now.
Well, that's where I was going. Right. Yesterday, Donald Trump said that he, if he gets elected, wants to take over the controls of the Federal Reserve, and he's going to make sure that he can call the interest rates, because he, being a businessman, knows so much more about what to do with it. Well, he will not be a businessman when he's making those calls. He will be a politician. His business acumen is greatly
questionable.
But as a politician, it's very clear what a political instinct will drive anyone to do, which is to reduce interest rates. And the Federal Reserve is there because they are in the position to both reduce interest rates and increase them, because it's a tool for fighting inflation. Mitt Romney was in social media, at least, and with a lengthy discussion of why it is that he believes that if Donald Trump gets elected, we will have a recession, we will have runaway inflation. And that was before Donald Trump had asserted that he wanted to take over the Federal Reserve's interest rate decision-making, because that would be a highly inflationary. Everyone, and in fact, the Wall Street Journal podcast this morning was pointing out that if a politician takes over the interest rate decision-making, it will be inflationary, because a politician will only do one thing. He, she will reduce interest rates. They will not take the political gunfire of raising interest rates and all the negatives that would imply.
But Sandy, I thought that the Federal Reserve was independent of the president.
Well, the Federal Reserve is an interesting animal, and it has a committee, and the question is whether the chairman of the commission is dedicated to independence or not.
But
the president appoints the Federal Reserve chairman. And so, as the Wall Street Journal pointed out, the likelihood is that Trump will simply appoint someone who is a lapdog.
844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host Sandy Williams and you. 844-967-2789 is the number.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer's coming up. Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burgerfest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, your choice of music.
Well, today the word ebullient was I had in mind. The ebullient meaning of happy, joyful. And there is sort of a joyful, enthusiastic feeling, I think, after the several weeks of Kamala Harris's nomination, and now Tim Walz, who seems like a guy that people are going to like. And I think there's a sort of a change in atmosphere that feels much happier. I hope it lasts. I hope that it persists. I hope I've seen people talking about the fact that the American public maybe has been hungry for a situation in which they would not be talked to all the time about some crystal ball gazing disaster that's around the corner, which hasn't happened in any of the, yet, and isn't probably likely to happen. But the Chicken Little call for disaster has worked in terms of the Trump approach to politics in terms of frightening people. And I think people are prepared to stop being frightened, which I think will be damaging for Donald Trump unless he can change gears. But I'm glad to see that we have two candidates who seem to be on the joyful side, in terms of being willing to talk about policy, willing to deflect the name calling. I think it's going to be, and whether it's a strategy or whether it's their nature, I think it's going to be a very effective approach. Instead of fighting fire with fire, name calling with name calling, I think it's going to be very effective in the teachings in the Bible of just turning the other cheek and going on with life, saying, you can call me names, but it's weird, and proceeding with the discussion of policy, which I think is what people are hungry to hear about. I think that Bernie Sanders has a thing on social media in which he talks about some polling he did and how hungry the American public is to hear about what it is that these politicians are proposing that will help them solve this budget problem, this home budget problem that we've talked about on the air a great deal, about the costs of health care and the costs of child daycare and the costs of education, the costs of housing, these things that are crippling middle America. In spite of the fact that their income might be going up, they've been behind the eight ball. Their budget's been behind the eight ball for a decade.
You know, Sandy, happiness on one side, melancholy on the other side. And even though there are people who are jubilant right now, who are Democrats or others who, as you stated, were really just in a stupor prior to this change, it is amazing what has transpired. But again, we can't forget there's another side of this coin. And I want to ask you, as you stated before, we were talking about the Federal Reserve and Donald Trump looking to muscle his way into that and change that whole dynamic. He's going to change it. not understanding. There's no way Donald Trump can understand the inner workings of the Federal Reserve.
Well, I think he can understand it, possibly. I'm not sure he'd be willing to do the homework. Do the homework to really understand it. He accused the Federal Reserve yesterday of operating with its gut, except that that's how Donald Trump has described his own decision-making process himself, is that he basically just uses gut instinct, which he now wants to use for the American public and by calling interest rates. But as I said, politically speaking, there's only one direction that interest rates can go that would make a politician happy, and that's down. And down isn't always the right direction for interest rates to go, particularly if we have inflation. And, you know, Mitt Romney, as I was saying in the social media presentation, talked about the same things I've talked about, which is if Donald Trump gets elected and if he wants to increase tariffs in the manner that he has, which is in and of itself inflationary, and if he wants to reduce taxes without making the offsetting adjustments and expenditures that would be necessary in a disciplined economy to do that, it is very inflationary. And if he takes over interest rates and cuts interest rates in the face of those things, it is very inflationary. And so, you know, we don't have a recession today. But if Donald Trump takes over, I think Mitt Romney and I would say that there will be an inflation-driven recession. And furthermore, Wall Street Journal and other financial market makers and financial market participants are becoming increasingly troubled by the notion of a Donald Trump presidency, because as much as he talks about how it is that he fuels a great economy, I think that there is a great deal of understanding in the financial community how dangerous it is that he might become president and implement these broad policies, which are harebrained.
So how much of this is, and we've all been asking, what are going to be the policies of Donald Trump? And so how much is it that he's kind of capitulated somewhat in this particular instance? This is part of what I'm going to be doing. Now, you want to know my policies. This is...
Well, he talked about, you know, as soon as he appointed Jerome Powell, he began hectoring him almost immediately, yeah. Because Powell was, you know, doing things he didn't want done, right? He wasn't reducing interest rates or increasing, you know, he wasn't behaving the way he hoped he would, and he began to hector him and criticize him and talk about how it is that the Federal Reserve ought to be doing his bidding. And so this is his own personal instincts, but a great deal of what he talks about is consistent with what's in Project 2025. You know, he wants to take over the Justice Department and essentially put it into a politically responsive position. That's what 2025 wants. I'm confident he wants to make the FBI director subject to his approval and his appointment and his to serve at his pleasure, which is what Project 2025 wants. You know, so, you know, he's tried to distance himself from a policy document, but the more he talks publicly, the more he says things that are consistent with it, and the more he says things that are consistent with a lot of what he was talking about in his first term, which was happily not adopted at the time and which was harebrained. But politicizing the Federal Reserve is, and everyone in the financial community understands this, is a terrible idea.
844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. 844-967-2789.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin voters may have as many as six choices for president in November. The Wisconsin Elections Commission says Cornell West and Robert F. Kennedy Jr., as well as Shiva Ira Dure and Claudia De La Cruz, all turned in paperwork this week. The WEC will now decide if they qualify to be on the ballot. Kamala Harris may be changing presidential campaigns in more ways than one. She's gained a lot of support from Democrats in a very short time. Hamline University political scientist David Schultz.
And if she were to win, this changes the strategy where people might say, well, gosh, I don't have to declare 2 years in advance and go through all those battles.
The Pew Research Center says most voters say they're burned out on long presidential campaigns. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Rice Lake native Kenny Bednarik is bringing another Olympic silver medal back to Northwest Wisconsin. In the 200-meter finals on Thursday, Bednarik finished second with a time of 19.62. It's his second silver medal in the event, winning his first in the Tokyo Olympics. Bednarik will have one more chance to medal on Friday as part of the Team USA 4x100-meter relay. The relay team advanced to the finals on Thursday without Bednarik and teammate Noah Lyles, who won bronze in the 200-meter dash. Violent crime in Duluth is on the decline, according to law enforcement officials. According to a Fox 21 report, data from the Duluth Police Department shows there has been a significant drop in shooting incidents in the city in 2024 compared to previous years. Through July 25th this year, there have been only 5 shooting incidents compared to 26 last year and 40 in 2020 through the same date. Stabbing calls have also seen a decline, with 11 calls through July 25th this year compared to 12 from last year and 30 in 2022. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Here are some weekend movie suggestions. The Blake Lively film, It Ends With Us, is a romantic drama receiving mostly good reviews. It Ends With Us is adapted from the novel of the same name by Colleen Hoover. Borderlands is a sci-fi adventure about an intergalactic bounty hunter with a sketchy past and a ragtag team of misfits that are charged with saving the galaxy. The film is based on one of the most popular video games of all time. The film is pulling a 3% on Rotten Tomatoes, so you might want to steer clear or hope you're in the 3%. And if you're looking for a movie about lip-syncing before it was cool or even accepted, check out Girl, You Know It's True, a documentary about Milli Vanilli's meteoric rise up the music charts, which culminated with 3 number one hits, none of which they sang. The biopic takes a good look at what the lives of Milli and Vanilli were like before and after the fall, and it's pulling a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be partly cloudy today and a little breezy. We'll get to around 70 for a high. The wind northwest at around 10 to 20. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop to 50 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, sunshine, high in the low to mid 70s on Sunday. Sunny with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 54.
Wisconsin's fall primary election is Tuesday, August 13th, with constitutional ballot questions, a U.S. Senate race, contested congressional primaries, and new legislative maps. This fall, Wisconsin decides.
Be a voter, then tune to your local Civic Media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
I'm News Director Terry Bell. When the polls close at 8, our news team will bring you results from all over Wisconsin.
Election coverage live, Tuesday, August 13th at 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
Protect your livelihood with a livestock risk protection policy through Ag Country Farm Credit Services. With an LRP policy, you're covered if the market price unexpectedly drops for fed cattle, feeder cattle, or swine. Coverage options range from 70 to 100%. Get an LRP policy from a team that knows agriculture. Contact your local Ag Country office to learn more. Ag Country, focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender and provider.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will welcome Peter Rapine, the managing editor of EPOB's World, with a week in review. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
¶¶
out to get me. That's the way it seems. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I've been alone. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, it's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, before we go to the phone lines, you know, it's, well, let's just go to the phone line. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Happy Friday. What a beautiful, a little chilly.
Morning. Yeah.
But it's a good way. Good way to end a week here. Hey, you know, I'm with you on the happiness. It is such a unique feeling that we haven't felt in quite some time. But I want to kind of shift it over maybe to really hope is what I feel. You know, we've been looking real hard at trying to find the light at the end of the tunnel. Many of us for decades, we've been seeing this transgression of, you know, this change of America. In my opinion, it was slipping away from us, and it has been for decades. But many of us who have been paying attention, you know, all of a sudden, you know, with this change of Biden to Harris and this whole momentum, it's liberating in a way. You know, imagine, you know, us in a community, in an environment where, you know, things are getting done and the people's work is getting done, instead of, you know, listening to scareism, terrorism, divide and conquer, propaganda and misinformation. I mean, we're always going to have that, but I think most of us have had it up to our eyeballs with it. We're just tired of it. It's just old and quite frankly, very, very dangerous. So I'm excited. I'm excited because, you know, we're talking about doing things again and solving together and working out our problems versus a grievance-filled lying, inaction, almost, again, scares and terrorism. They're saying things like our country is being destroyed. It's going to hell. You'll no longer have a country. You know, that just gets old. So anyway, it feels great. It's a beautiful morning. So many of us see a very, very bright light at the end of the tunnel. And quite frankly, it couldn't come quick enough.
You know, Mike, that was well said and timely.
Well, it's exactly what Earl and I were talking about before the show started this morning. I mean, I think one of the things we were talking about was this question about, you know, if Trump loses, how will his base react? Will we have something like January 6th or worse? And my view is that if the Democratic ticket, if Kamala and Tim Walz can continue to deflect and to defuse this notion that there's hate going on, that there's a danger around the corner, if fear tactics fail, okay, and if the level of fear drops, I think January 6th was a fear-driven mob, and it was possibly, you know, the Proud Boys and a small group might have had some prior intent and a conspirational thing, but you can't drive a mob without having the mob have a unified kind of an anger and terror and fear. And so if politics can be diffused, and if we can get rid of the fear discussion, or if the fear discussion can be mocked as it should be, you know, that the sky is not falling, that we need to talk about policy. And I believe that that's where the Democratic ticket is going to take this. I think Tim Walz in particular has a personality that's particularly well suited to deflect and to move to the area of discussing policy. And policy is a difficult thing for the Republicans, because if they want to attack the specific policies of the Democrats, they'll have to be attacking raising the minimum wage. They'll have to be attacking child daycare kinds of extensions. They'll have to be attacking broadening health care and making it more affordable. These are things that Tom, Dick, and Mary understand and are worried about. So the Republicans are left with only painting with a broad brush. They can talk about fiscal deficits, which isn't a very good turf for them because the deficits were bigger.
And created by them.
They've had huge deficits themselves. But they will talk with a broad brush about fiscal deficits and fiscal responsibility. And then they will paint with a broad brush in terms of name-calling, calling people radical left, calling them socialists, talking about Marxists, things that are kind of fearful in discussion and totally unspecific about policy. And so, you know, I think that if the Democratic ticket gets down to the capacity to just talk about policy and to not worry about the name-calling and not worry about all of that and to deflect it by passing it off as being improper and weird, which is, I think, what it is, it's not delivering information to Tom, Dick, and Mary that should be helpful in helping them understand and vote according to what would be best for the country and best for them.
So before we go back to the phone line, Sandy, I would say to you that if I'm a Republican and I'm listening to all of this and I'm watching all of this and my hopes have been dashed inside of the last 3 weeks, I was exuberant. Donald Trump was pulling away from Joe Biden and I was thrilled. It looked for all the world like it's going to be a cakewalk. And now all of a sudden my dreams have been dashed and I don't see anything that can put it back on track. Well, I'm a Republican.
I think the problem was that whereas the Republicans were using a variety of strategies, the Marxists, the leftists, the radical left talk, all of that, the thing that was actually sticking was the question of whether Biden's age and his infirmity made him qualified to be president or not, okay, to be elected the next president or not. That had traction. They lost that. The rest of the stuff they might have believed was working, but I think the only element that actually was working was that issue, and that issue is now gone, and now they're left with actually having to deal with younger, vibrant, physically vibrant, articulate candidates who are going to be talking about issues, and they're going to be left with limited options. They're going to have to either talk about issues or continue name-calling, and I'm not sure the American public is that dumb.
Let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. So I like to just touch base with the governor of Minnesota really quickly and see what Sandy has to say about this. So as you know, as governor, I know he's been governor for a while now. You know, he actually signed off basically where minors they can change your gender without any parental consent. He made it a sanctuary transgender state, essentially.
Is this fear, Sandy, that you were talking about? But anyway, go ahead.
He signed that into law.
If he did.
He also deleted an exemption against pedophiles. Sexual orientation to deleting an exemption against pedophiles. I mean, that is all easily to look up as far as the bill that was actually signed there.
Who provides you with this information, David? You obviously didn't do this. But look, my twin sister lives in Minnesota. He's an exceedingly popular governor in Minnesota. He's an exceedingly popular governor across party lines in Minnesota. He has accomplished a great deal in Minnesota. Now, I don't know how many transgender people you know. I don't know how many I know, but I don't view that as a major issue. I think that transgenderism is a red herring. I think it's something that people have decided to talk about because it seems to be provocative and seems to get people's attention, and it's way disproportionate. I don't care which bathroom people use. And I'm not sure, you know, now as to how it is that the decision is made about transgender treatment, I'm not close enough to the issue to understand all of the issues associated with it. I'm just not. And so, you know, I think that, David, quite frankly, you're involved with dragging a red herring across the trail of this campaign instead of talking about things that matter to Tom, Dick, and Mary. Okay? So you can talk about that if you want. I refuse to talk about it.
All right. So you're okay with minors to have no parental consent in
Dave,
having...
he just stated.
I just told you, I don't know enough about the issue to understand exactly what process is involved. I assure you that minors can't sign
make
any
decisions.
Sort of a contract. There'd have to be a guardian ad litem. There'd have to be something involved with that process. So I don't know. I don't know what I don't know. But to be honest with you, I think that the whole transgender discussion is kind of a disgusting red herring, and it's an effort to stir people up who don't understand or know much about the issue. And it's an issue that must affect, what, 0.1% of Americans? Really? Is that what you want to discuss, David? Because that's not worth a phone call.
So Sandy, let me just, I guess this is what I would just say to you. If you're okay with having fourth graders where boys' bathrooms have tampons.
I think school districts make those decisions. I think that decisions need to be made by institutional processes, okay? And I'm not in a position to, you know, first of all, have you been to Europe, David? Because in Europe, most bathrooms are by gender, okay? There is no gender difference. You go into the bathroom, you walk into a stall, you lock the stall, and you might have a woman next to you. You might have a transgender person next to you. You might have a fourth grader next to you, okay? You know, we seem to be unduly fascinated with this process.
Well,
do you stand up or sit down, David? I mean, really, how silly is this?
Well, you know, David, and I would say, David, with all the things that are important and happening in this nation and people, what they need and what they desire, this is not the conversation that is going to move people, David.
Well, let's talk about the education in Minnesota. They've dropped from 6th to 19th. In education, even though they have spent a tremendous amount of money. Why is that? I guess the question is, why did Minneapolis, when he had an opportunity, when George Floyd situation arose, and
slow down there, because you can go to media and you can see Donald Trump calling up Tim Walz and congratulating him for what a great job he did in handling the situation in Minnesota and in Minneapolis. So I'd be careful about trying to figure out, you know, look, we've got a candidate and you can go ahead and nitpick and try to find the reasons why you don't like him. I'm more interested in figuring out what it is that's being proposed for the United States of America by each ticket and what are their policies.
Do you agree that he is the most progressive vice president that's ever been on a ticket?
Of course not. No, I don't agree with that. And I can go through some of the vice presidents that have been on tickets, okay? And there have been people who are undoubtedly as progressive as he is. In fact, Hubert Humphrey was a presidential candidate from Minnesota and probably was more progressive.
Well, David, is progressive a dirty word?
I think you need to look into and vet the guy to what he actually instituted in the state of Minnesota.
David, thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. A very demonstrative Sandy Williams. We'll return.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
This fall, Wisconsin voters will cast critical votes for U.S. Senate, determining the direction of our state and nation on important issues. The ACLU does not endorse or oppose candidates, but wants voters to make an informed decision in the U.S. Senate election. Abortion is at stake in this election. On abortion rights, what have Senate candidates Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde said? Here's Eric Hovde.
I am a strong believer in pro-life. I am totally opposed to abortion.
And this interview.
Do you think Roe versus Wade should be overturned?
Yes.
Here's Tammy Baldwin.
I want women to decide.
And
I am pro-choice.
And
I lead the effort to restore Roe versus Wade to our national laws.
In their own words, Tammy Baldwin supports abortion rights while Eric Hovde opposes abortion rights.
ACLU Voter Education Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Paid for by ACLU Voter Education Fund, 212-549-2500, not authorized by a candidate or candidate's committee.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
And I like being insane. Sandy, I guess you really are happy.
Well, I decided that there was sort of an ebullience, like I said earlier, that's sort of sprung up as a result of the change in the political horizon, and so I thought I'd play some music reflecting it.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Friday's with Sandy Williams, and let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom.
Good morning, guys. First off, I just want to thank Sandy for really making some of the issues that are really not issues, slapping them down, basically. I just want to say that, you know what, I am a joyful democracy warrior this morning. The thing I like is we talk about childcare, healthcare, taxes, rent or mortgage on this show, which is one of the great things I learned from Sandy, about the $16,000 for each indice. That's exactly what the Harris campaign is talking about. She talked the other day about childcare and the child tax care credit and how that needs to be put through. She talked about healthcare and how she wants to get health care down in price so people are only paying $35 per month, maybe for their prescription drugs, not just for seniors like it is now that Joe Biden did, but what she wants to do. She talked about taxes, about taxing the billionaire class. And she talked about rent and mortgage. She talked about the corporations that are charging so much for rent that people can't afford it. These are the things like Sandy talks about that are really important. She also talked about unions. She's talked about retiring with dignity, talked about building wealth, paid family leave, a woman's right to choose, gun safety, LGBTQ plus rights and inclusion for all, taking on the corporation, taking on Big Pharma, bringing jobs back to America. Middle class is strong because that's what makes America strong. A fight for freedom, as FDR said, a necessitous person, or he said man at the time, but a necessitous person is not a free person. She talks about clean water and she talks about clean air. Now you tell me, what is it about actual policies that want to help Tom, Dick, and Mary in this country? What is it that is wrong with that? And she's talking about those policies. I wish someone would just ask her, like, what are your policies?
Well,
is your whole policy project 2025?
Well, Tom, they both of them are talking about the policies. And you are 100% correct, man. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to CJ. CJ.
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. You know what they don't want to talk about, and you saw you praised Sandy for getting upset at David, but Sandy doesn't want to talk about Walt's record. He doesn't want to talk about the border.
His record and what? His record. CJ, what record? What about his record?
Okay, let's talk about the border czar's record.
Let's talk about his record.
She wasn't made the border czar. Only the Republicans have said that she was the border czar. She was asked by Biden to deal with the Central American issues associated with the reason for a substantial number of South Americans and others crossing the border. But in any case,
the border
issues are what they are. But if you want to talk about the border, we should talk about why it is that Congress decided not to pass a border fix bill that was actually passed. Maybe it was late to the party in terms of when it was done, but it was done. You know, it was negotiated, and it was ready to be passed through Congress, and it didn't even get a debate because Donald Trump on the sidelines told the Republican leadership that he didn't want it to come forth.
Go ahead, CJ.
Go ahead with that one. Tell us why.
9 months before. 9 months before that, H.R. 2 was signed from Congress. Did Schumer bring up that law? No, he didn't, Sandy. He buried it. So why don't you actually do some press coverage if you want to consider yourself a journalist?
Well,
you don't tell the whole truth.
Well, CJ, we're not journalists. We don't profess to be journalists. You know, unlike conservative talk radio, we don't profess to be journalists. And you began this conversation with talking about telling the truth about Waltz's record, and then you jumped over to the vice president's record. Now, who are we talking about?
I'm talking about both of them. They haven't taken a question because you guys ordained them as the perfect candidates. You will refuse to let David talk about his record. You refuse to let me talk about his record.
CJ, I asked you, what was it about his record? And you jumped to Kamala Harris. So what is it about his record?
Okay. He watched their city burn for 3 days. He put people in jail and then allowed the president, through the freedom event, to bail him out. So he refused to call the National Guard. His stance supposedly.
Why did Trump congratulate him? Why did he call him up and congratulate him for doing such a good job?
Come on, Sandy.
Well, he did. He did. No, I'm not deflecting. No, okay. you're talking. I'm saying that in the very circumstance you're talking about, Donald Trump provided social media with the video of him talking to Tim, calling Tim Walz and telling him what a good job he was doing. I mean,
why don't you ask the president to ask that question then? Because even his fellow soldiers diss him. They said that he embellishes his record.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, 844-967-2780. Anyway, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we'll reminisce about how we'll always have Paris as the Summer Olympics draw to a close, plus news headlines from over the weekend.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Oh, no. Stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.